and welcome to the Last Horror Podcast. My name's Christopher Brown. So the first story, the one that I did at Christmas, was really well received, lots of good feedback. And so I thought I'd make it a slightly more regular thing. I don't know how often, because obviously I don't know how many ideas I'm going to come up with. But I really enjoyed writing it, and I've got another one for you today. I think I remember telling you that I had some problems recently. Things weren't going quite my way. So it was that day, obviously the day when I lost my job. I was pulled in to a meeting with my manager. Now he was a kind of a, he was an alright kind of guy, but he made it very clear that because of my drinking, they weren't going to be able to continue using me anymore. And it's a strange feeling when that happens, because there's not much you can do, really. I couldn't disagree. I couldn't suggest that I'd be better in the future. You just kind of have to accept that my behavior was no longer fitting with a company ethos. So I went home and had that awkward conversation with my wife. I think her concern was that I would sit at home and start drinking again and continue to, or, you know, just fill my time. So instead she gave me something that would involve me not being able to drink, because I would be focusing on something else. It was an origami set. Now, I don't know if you've received a set or read any origami books, but you need to complete a number of folds and understand how to do those folds before you can even start, really, in, you know, creating anything. It's a frustrating process, because you kind of think to yourself when you get one that you're going to be, you know, creating these birds and cranes and, you know, animals pretty much immediately. But you don't. You just get a big stack of very regulated pieces of square paper, and the instructions go through how to fold the paper, and you start off okay. You start off with enthusiasm, I think it's fair to say. You know, getting the folds together, burning through tons of this paper initially just to learn all the folds, and then you start making an animal. Now, the crane is a traditional Japanese animal to be made from origami. It's also the first thing anyone who learns origami learns how to make. You can imagine it. You know what it looks like. The crane has a long neck with a twist at the end, short wings, and a long tail that's also kind of sharp behind it. The suru, as it's actually called, is known for like a symbol of longevity, of good life, of luck. Anyway, it's the only thing I can make in origami. I have tried to make other things. Fish, the sakana, which is a lovely shape with kind of angled fins on it. The rabbit, usagi, again, really nice animal in shape. The frog is a classic fun little origami shape that you can get a bit of movement out of. I mean, I wasn't trying to do complicated shapes, you know, like the dragon tattoo, you know, which, you know, has loads of different folds in it. I understood that I would struggle because of my skill set. But it literally, the only thing I could make was a crane. So that's what I did. Through the day, apply for a couple of jobs, nothing which was coming up. I'd be terrified anyway in case they asked for a reference. I was delaying, in truth. I had a couple of quid in my bank account, so wanted to kind of hold fire on anything particularly major. and sat there, and to the promise of my wife, didn't drink but made origami cranes. I got a phone call from my old boss. And at that stage, I kind of thought, wow, he's obviously saw the error of his ways. He wants to invite me back. It was a strange conversation. He was talking to me as if he was trying to find out information. What I'd been up to. How well I was in myself. And I was, I wouldn't say guarded, but a bit surprised, a bit confused. You know, why would this guy call me? Why does he care, in truth? So I tried to be polite about it. But while simultaneously telling him nothing, I mean, what could I say? Yes, I'm off the booze, but I've suddenly developed a paper crane origami fetish, filling my days, carefully folding these fucking birds and leaving them around the house. I mean, there were piles of them already, stacking up. There was a few sitting around, the ones I were proud of, but the majority of them were in a box. My wife couldn't understand it either. She turned to me frequently and said, why are you building all these cranes? Why don't you try something else? And my response was always the same. The birds soothed me. It calmed me down. I wasn't thinking about work. I was thinking about making the cranes. And I struggled to make other animals. Except that wasn't really strictly true. The folds of the birds weren't that soothing. I was quite deliberate in my actions. And working through that meeting with that guy, my boss, all the time, thinking about why. Why did he do it? Why did he get rid of me? I wasn't that bad. You know, we've all come in with hangovers though, haven't we? We've all done that. It's not an uncommon thing to be drunk and work. I mean, you know, people have drinks and lunch all the time. Why did he have to fucking do it now? Couldn't he at least give me some warning? It was out the friggin' blue. And so very deliberately I was cutting these birds and turning them into paper cranes. I think it's fair to say it made my wife uneasy. The deliberate nature of it. The hour after hour building these small origami paper animals. I mean, I'd burnt through the paper in the set relatively quickly. And so I'd gone out and bought the cheapest paper I could, which was, you know, laser-gem printer paper. And then, of course, it's not square, is it? So you have to cut deliberately enough paper so in the right shape. I wasn't giving myself a lot of time, so I bought myself a paper cutter too. A big, massive, knifed guillotine that was able to cut through large amounts of the stuff. So I'd measure it out into these very exact squares, pull down, and then cut squares of paper. It's definitely true that it became a passion of mine. I suppose in one way I'd replaced one addiction with another. The second time my boss called, it wasn't quite as cordial. I think it's fair to say I felt it was like a test. His call was about apologising, saying that whatever he'd done, and he knew I was upset, that he was sorry. Would I be okay coming back to work? Well, I mean, Jesus, what an opportunity to go back, to make everything okay again. My wife would be happy. I wouldn't be stuck in the house all day making paper cranes. And it was true, I'd dried out. I wasn't drinking at all. I told him I wasn't drinking. I was well in myself. And it was a kind offer. But I didn't understand why. I'm not saying I wasn't good at my job. I was. I brought in a lot of money. I did a lot of work. But it didn't seem to make sense after this time. I mean, it'd been weeks that he would do it. And he was strange about it. He said he wasn't well. definitely, distinctly not well. And he was trying to make amends. And then I knew. I knew what it was, really. Except I didn't. It seemed odd. And it made me feel uneasy. He was aggressively telling me to come back to work. To work for him. After all this time. And I had job interviews coming up. People had been quite responsive to my CV, in truth. And I felt better about stuff. And I could easily just mask it. And I told him. I didn't think it was good for me to come back. I was focused on other things. And to be invited back like that, it just felt off. I wasn't happy. I was confused. And so I said no. And it was true. I was getting job offers. Ish. Kind of. Not massive ones. Not really. But interviews. Well, maybe. People would phone me up occasionally. It was definitely true that something might happen, though. And anyway, I was focused on other things. I continued to make the cranes to calm myself. Or at least, I won't lie to you, to focus my mind. I was still angrily building the cranes when my wife left. I don't blame her. She was frustrated. I flip-flopped between drinking and now this obsession with origami. But not even a good way. I suppose she wouldn't have minded so much if she rocked up and had loads of different creatures or creations. But instead it seems probably like a madman. Just constantly doing the same thing, repeated and repeated. My nails bitten down from chewing. A box, huge, huge tub filled with paper cranes until it was overflowing. And then a second and a third. Meanwhile, ones that I was more happy with were on the mantelpiece, and ones I didn't like but still fulfilled the criteria were kind of shoved away, but not binned, just created and sat round. But at the time, I would say I was not surprised. I received my final call from my boss on a clear winter day. It was cold, crisp and cold. He sounded unwell, it is fair to say. Croaky and bleak. And he pleaded. He explained to me specifically where his mind was and what was happening. Apparently been suffering the last few months with a rare version of osteoporosis. His bones had been weakening. And his joints had been becoming looser. His body effectively had been stretching. And initially he thought it was a medical condition. But as things became more desperate and his condition worsened far quicker than he expected or the doctors could explain, he turned to more unusual means of solving his issue. He contacted various priests, shamans, and then finally mediums and spiritualists to come up with a solution. Somebody allegedly had told him that it must be a curse. I mean, ridiculous, I know. That somebody in his life who had contact with him around about the point when I was sacked had allegedly cursed him. I mean, come on. It's 2017. No one's cursing anybody. And it's stupid to suggest such a thing. But in his desperation, he'd assumed that it must be the case. And you know what it's like. He's a weak man in a terrible position. And had tried to make amends with everybody in his life. And I was the last frame. And he was desperate. He said, I must have cursed him. And I just, fuck off. Of course I haven't cursed you. It's a terrible thing that's happened, and I'm sorry we weren't able to make amends, but I was okay. I'm fine. I stopped myself from explaining. But I'd found ways of coping with my alcoholism that were at least constructive. I didn't want to explain exactly what I'd been doing. It sounded pathetic, and I certainly wouldn't argue. He pleaded with me. Stop whatever I was doing, and then make it right. Listen, I don't know. I said there was nothing to make right. Everything was fine. I tried to calm him down, but he was uncalmable. He was convinced that I was the source of his illness. And I'm like, it's ridiculous. I hung up and very deliberately picked up a paper and a ruler and began to make the folds for an origami crane. You see, although origami cranes are, in fact, the thing everyone first learns how to do, it isn't actually the easiest bird to make. There's a trick to it, a technique, something called the reverse fold, which kind of means you pull in the animal to make it work. And people find it quite challenging. There's a real knack to a good quality origami crane, and I've been learning it extremely well. It's the classic origami shape, so it makes sense to be the best at that one. And I, at this stage, was really, really pretty fucking good at making origami cranes. So I folded, made one, and it was perfect. My 1,000th crane, in fact. Now, I don't know if you know, but I did at the time, that there is an old Japanese legend. If you make 1,000 cranes, you get your wish granted. Now, when I started, I didn't know that story. I was just a guy making some paper animals. But as time went on, as those phone calls came in from my old boss, I realized that what I was wishing for was not a new job, or indeed a cure for my illness. It was for revenge, for him to feel how I felt. But worse, I wanted to wring his neck. So it became as no surprise, the next day, in my inbox of the local newspaper, emails out its local news stories, the story of a local business owner, a respected man in the community, he'd been discovered in a terrible shape. They claimed it was murder. His neck was strung out long, his legs tied and bound with his own tendons pulled out. Somebody had tried deliberately and forced him into an unnatural shape. The shape of a paper crane. Except he didn't call it that, but I knew. It just said he'd be mutilated. But I knew what it'd done. I'd like to pretend that at that time, I stopped making them. But I didn't. And my thoughts turned to my wife. Hey, thank you very much for listening to that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get hold of me, please do. My email address is christopher@thelasthorrorpodcast.com. You can get me on Twitter. It's @orange_monkey. Or you can get me on the website, thelasthorrorpodcast.com. There you can subscribe and you get a weekly mailing list with some mixtapes of some music that kind of fits the theme of the show. And a new thing, which is a support the show button. Okay, so I know traditionally, certainly when we were talking about Night Gallery, the Twilight Zone Network, we're never going to ask for money. It was always going to be not for profit. And that still stays. The podcast will always be free. And people contacted me asking me, was I going to do a Patreon or, you know, and that's kind of, you know, since probably Video Nasties and Truth, I've kind of had those kind of questions in terms of, you know, is there a way to contribute? And it's one of the reasons why, you know, there was a book of some form, which, you know, now that print. So a way to contribute, I suppose, if you like it. All that stuff didn't sit well with the way I work and what I do. You know, obviously this isn't my job, this is a hobby. And to monetize it makes it less of a hobby, if that makes sense. So, but on the other hand, I'll always take a beer off you. Somebody was offering me a beer, then I would take it, you know. So I've put on, there's a new thing called Ko-fi, and Ko-fi is basically a donation button that says, buy me a coffee. So go to the website, click on the buy me a coffee, and if you like what I do and you feel so inclined, you can buy me a drink. Cheers to Rob, who's already done that, and bought me a pint, as he'd said. He insisted that it was a pint rather than a coffee, and I'll certainly never turn a pint out. And so, cheers, Rob. It was a two-thirds glass of smoked porter at the Black Lodge Brewery, which you pay for, which was very nice. Did me a lot of good on Friday night, so thanks for that. So anyway, all that's on the website, as is all the podcasts. And so also as well, while I'm in begging mode, if you want to leave me a review on iTunes, that would be super helpful. Reviews mean you're more visible, which means more people will listen, and means that I get to stroke my ego more, I suppose. It just helps getting the word out on the podcast, and you know, listeners are nice, and more listeners are really good. I've been blessed with great listenerships, and you know, long may it continue. So thank you very much. Anyway, next week, I was going to do Jack Sparks. I've completely knocked down into the tall grass. I will do it at some point. It needs more things to talk about rather than just a book review. I've got one other thing which kind of fits it, but I could do with another one. So I've knocked that back. Currently, I've said I'm going to talk about art house horror and the way people are talking about things not really being horror. I might do that. I might do something else. I don't know. So yeah, next week will be another podcast. Who knows? Let's put it that way. But you know, I'll have a think about it. I haven't really thought much beyond this one, to be honest with you, because it occurred to me this week and I was kind of excited to do it. So. Anyway, I've been rambling. Until next time, take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.